If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for free. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk AEW and NXT, especially two promos. AEW with MJF and a career-defining promo on Dynamite last night. And then Keith Lee, your champion, with some fire on NXT last night. We talk about both and the directions that both MJF and Keith Lee are going. Also, we have another amazing interview. What a week of interviews that we've had on Busted Open. Now we have Gallows and Anderson, the Good Brothers, talking about their worst pay-per-view of the year coming up on Saturday. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
Right off the bat, we don't have to talk about it right now, but I'm going to tell you, last night, the MVP of both shows is MJF, and nobody is even close.
Yeah, I mean, and let's, you know what, let's start there, because there's a lot. First of all, Bully, I mean, I thought two newsworthy shows from AEW and NXT, there's a lot of things that went on, and you're right. You know, when you look at the things that went on in AEW and NXT, you could have started today's show anywhere and it would have been fine. But you mentioned MJF, and I thought MJF had the promo of his career so far. This guy has done some amazing things. You know, we had a heel poll a few weeks back with Tommy Dreamer. And, you know, when people were giving their top five, a lot of people were mentioning MJF as not only one of the top heels right now, but one of the top heels in decades when it comes to the world of pro wrestling. But man, did he have one hell of an MVP night last night for AEW.
Last week when you were out moving, I don't know if it was on Wednesday or Thursday, me and Tommy got into this discussion of heels based off of, you know, what you guys were talking about also. And Tommy's talking to me about how he believes that Jericho is a great heel. And I said, I'm sorry, Tommy, I don't agree with that. I said, when Chris has to be a heel, he's a good heel. But Chris is entirely too entertaining across the board for me to ever truly hate Chris Jericho. I never come away saying, man, I hope Jericho gets his. I hope somebody punches Jericho in the face. I hope somebody makes Jericho bleed. I never get that with Chris. Not that Chris doesn't do a great job. He's just, he's funny. He's witty. He's goofy. He's grumpy. All of these things about Chris entertain me. So I could never sit there and just ride the one emotion of hatred with Chris. MJF, completely different story. That little prick comes out and he oozes hatred from the minute you see him until the minute he leaves. He never deviates from the plan. And the plan is go for the jugular and make people hate me every single second I am on television. That's why I sent out the tweet that I did last night. MJF makes me want to kick him in the face. And I'm smart to what's going on, Dave. He's able to take my knowledge and push it to the side and get under my skin. And that's an art form right there. At his age, to be so good at what he does, we talk about he's got a great future, how good of a job that he does. It's almost scary. I hope that we haven't become My concern for MJF is I hope we haven't become too sensitive as a wrestling community that MJF really can't put the pedal to the metal and do all of the things that we want him to do. But if last night is any indication, I mean, and coming off with Dean Ambrose, what Jon Moxley said on our show about scripted promos, and then what we get last night from MJF, listen, that was scripted, but it was scripted in the mind of MJF.
Yeah, and you talk about his age. MJF is 24 years old. Think about that. He's 24. So when MJF is at that podium last night and he's like, you know what? I'm going to be here for another 25 years. It's because, bully, he is going to be there for another 25 years. When you're 24 years old and you're able to... it's unbelievable. And part of the reason why I hate him so much as a man who's 49 years old and see this condescending, like you said, prick in front of me, kind of taunting that the fact that, hey, listen, old man, you're on your way out and I'm on my way in and I'm going to be here for a long, long time. Truer words were never spoken when you listen to MJF. And to be this good this early, I can just imagine what he's going to be like 10, 15, 20 years from now, Bully.
Whether I saw MJF in his situations with Cody or whether I see him last night, MJF never makes me laugh. He never makes me smile. I might laugh and smile and snicker in the back of my head because I'm saying this kid has it. So it's almost like, being proud to see such a young guy who gets it, because there aren't many 24-year-olds in the wrestling business who get it in the ring like MJF does. I don't know if he gets it outside of the ring. I haven't been around him enough to know that. But I know what I see on TV. This guy gets it. You want to talk about knowing your role? You want to talk about knowing that being a cool heel is not a smart idea? Dave, how many times over the past, 10, 15 years, do we see heels that want to be cool?
Oh my God, every heel wants to be cool. There's more examples of that than examples of heels that actually want to be hated.
Are heels supposed to be cool?
No.
No. I mean, that might be a very old school mentality, but when I whittle wrestling down to its bare minimum, it's about the good guys and the bad guys, and it's about emotions. And the two emotions that command pro wrestling are love and hate. I want to love somebody. I want to hate somebody. I don't believe in shades of gray. Yeah, good guys do bad things sometimes, and bad guys do good things sometimes. But I don't want my bad guy to ever do something good unless that good is leading to a monster babyface turn. I want my bad guy to be bad at all times. And MJF is a douche nozzle prick at all times.
And it's working and it's clicking. And I loved what he had to say because he was able to get under, I think, everyone's skin. Listen, AEW, we talk about AEW and things about AEW that frustrate us, right? But their fan base loves it. You know, that 18 to 49 demographic that they're leading in and crushing it on Wednesday nights loves the way that AEW does things. And he took a shot at all those fans that love that AEW style. He talked about the flip, flop, fly, and almost die. He talked about that. Like, the things that you love, I'm going to turn that around on you. He was able in that promo, Bully, to get over my skin, under my skin, your skin, and then also the 18-year-old that's watching at home.
And the 24-year-old kid is speaking like a 42-year-old veteran. He's basically calling everybody in AEW a bunch of spot monkeys who working for the pop and chasing the hug, isn't he?
Yep.
He's basically telling the entire roster, you don't know how to work. Which is what you get from a lot of veterans when they look at the product. I believe I can look at that product objectively because I understand what they're trying to do. And if you go by a ratings point of view, for the most part, it's working. Because, yeah, they're winning the Wednesday night ratings thing, aside from a couple of weeks. But are they truly getting the rating that they should be getting right now? Well, we're going to see week after week after week. You know, they have a long road ahead of them when it comes to improving their rating on the already decent rating that they're doing right now. But man, when you listen to this kid talk, he sounds like an old soul in wrestling. You know what I mean, Dave?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how they call people, you know? It sounds like he's been hanging around grizzled veterans for a long time, smoking Marlboros, drinking whiskey, and just spitting hatred. And that's, it's a gift right now. Like Randy Orton, we talk about heels right now. Randy's a really good heel, right?
Yes.
But do you want to see Randy Orton get punched in the face?
No, because you've been with Randy and you've taken this ride with Randy for decades now. You feel a little bit differently for Randy Orton. You almost like appreciate what he's doing weekly on TV.
And I think that's where the Jericho thing comes in also. It's hard to hate Chris because you appreciate him so much. It's easy to hate MJF. I don't have anything to appreciate. I haven't been on a ride with him. From the day he stepped foot in AEW, he told you, I'm better than you. I'm better than everybody. I'm going to talk down to you. Cody, I'm not going to respect you. I'm not going to respect your father. You're all a bunch of spot monkeys. You're all working for the pop. This entire company is beneath me. And when I get that from the beginning, this guy set the table for everything.
And this goes back to the discussion that we're having on Tuesday, because you're not going to see MJF on social media say, hey, that's just the role I'm playing on Wednesday nights, but I'm really not like that. You know, he's not using his, you know, another moniker, you know, on his tag on social media. He's not playing nice. Like, you know, hey, don't forget, book me on this or book me on that. He's not doing any of those things. The person that you get on AEW Dynamite is the same person that you get on social media, which is the same person you get, Bully, if you met him in person at StarCast. We had him in studio. I saw him at StarCast. There was a bunch of people around, including, like, you know, Alex Metz, our former producer, and Mother Marissa. And I went up to him, and I was just like, hey, MJF, how are you, man? I just wanted to say thank you for coming in studio the other day. Appreciate it. He turned around and he goes, fuck you, LaGreca, and walked away. So that person that you see on Wednesday nights is the person that you get any time that you see MJF.
And now you're scratching your head about him because you're like, wow, I wonder if he truly is this much of a jerk. And if you're confused and if you don't know whether or not he's that big of a jerk, you're going to always hate him. And you're right. He's not going to take the social media or do any of those things. You know, I almost tweeted last night after MJF's promo. I wonder if he's going to wait 3 minutes to tweet that he was only kidding about everything he said.
Summer is time to start prepping for your fantasy football draft with Fantasy Sports Radio.
Touchdown, Atlanta!
And this year, it's also time for fantasy baseball players to do the same.
It is gone!
Listen for expert advice to dominate your fantasy football and baseball drafts.
Will Gerrit Cole be the first pitcher taken?
12 strikeouts for Gerrit Cole.
Now celebrating our 10th year, bringing you the best fantasy sports radio on Sirius 210 XM87.
Now, Keith Lee, not only is your champion on NXT, but man, one thing that we've talked about with Keith Lee is that he needed a little bit of fire. When he was on the microphone last night, Bully, it sounded like Keith Lee had a lot of fire behind his words on NXT last night.
He had more fire behind his words, absolutely. And this is one of the points of contention for Mark Henry when it came to Keith Lee. I've been saying the same thing, and I think you've agreed with the both of us, that we need to hear some bass, we need to hear some bottom end, we need to hear some fire, some fury, some piss and vinegar. What pisses Keith Lee off? I thought last night was better, but I don't think he's there yet. Because I think he was just laid back Keith Lee, who was pissed off a little bit and cursed a couple of times. Dave, when you're really, really pissed off, do you stand in one position and in one spot?
No.
You kind of flail and fly around and come out of your own self for a minute, right? You're only when you're really, really mad, think about it. If you've ever been really mad at home or gotten into an argument with a friend or whatever, you're really mad. You're all over the place. I know I am. To see Keith just standing there with his 2 feet planted and too composed for me. I want to know what Keith Lee looks like in real life when he's mad. Like, imagine Karrion Kross did what he did to a family member of Keith Lee. And now I want Keith Lee to react like that. Go ahead. I know you want to say something.
Yeah, because as you're talking, and this is the way I felt last night, and I understand where you're coming from, but I think there's certain degrees. We know Keith Lee. We interviewed Keith Lee. He's laid back, man. He is definitely chill. And that was not like what we saw last night from Keith Lee during that promo. And as you're talking, you're right. I'm wondering if we would... Stop it, Demi. There's a bear.
Demi liked the promo.
No, Demi, there's a freaking bear outside the house.
I got a bear right across the street from my house right now.
Where did I move? I mean...
You're in the woods.
Anyway, I know, but I'm looking at a bear as I'm talking to you.
I just got an alert on my Ring doorbell that there's a bear across the street. And you got a bear across the street from your house?
No, it's not across the street. It's right there.
There's really a bear outside your window?
Yes. I mean, it's not directly. It's not like he's on top of the window like this looking in. But, you know,
pull
we have
over,
about an acre
over,
of woods. And there he is running around with two cubs.
Call him over. See if he wants to come on the show. Yeah, we'll get him on Zoom.
Yeah. I mean, good job, Demi. One bark is really going to scare the bear. Appreciate it.
All right. Anyway,
Keith Lee. But like my dog, like, you know, my dog's not going to go crazy just 1 second. My dog's laid back. So now it's a little upset because the bear is far away. But if that bear was up close, maybe my dog would be going nuts. Keith Lee, maybe if Karrion Kross was in the ring with Keith Lee, maybe we would have gotten that Keith Lee that you're describing. It's almost like it's certain, like you just even mentioned, like if something happened to a friend of Keith Lee's or a family member of Keith Lee's, like, I am just happy that we got a little bit of fire at all from Keith Lee. And I know it's cursing, but I didn't get it like he was cursing just for cursing's sake. Like, he, you know what is very un-WWE-like is to talk like people really do talk when they're in a real-life situation. You know, Mustafa Ali on Monday was not talking how Mustafa Ali would talk in a real-life situation. The pauses he took, his cadence, that's not the way people talk. But Keith Lee last night, I was like, you know what? That's the way Keith Lee probably talks in real life situations. It's amazing how on NXT we're getting more personality and how people really do talk than what we see on Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown.
It's crazy because, you know, like, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. You heard one thing, I heard another. I think Keith Lee was talking like a normal Keith Lee, just a little bit more pissed off. I don't think that was the real life version of Keith Lee. That's what I like to see. I want things so real. I want people talking to each other like they would be talking to each other in real life. Remember when Edge and Orton first got off the ground with their angle, and I said I could see that same conversation happening in a car with them driving down the road? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to feel. Not just from Keith Lee. I want to feel that from every performer. That's the level of realism I think pro wrestling needs in 2020 and moving forward. If the curtain is so far pulled back, well, then make me unpull it back. Close it. People were bitching and moaning about the whole Kairi Sane situation, like, oh, we know it was a week old and we know this and we know that. Yeah, people are entirely too smart to everything. So if fans are so smart to everything, it's up to the performer to make them unsmart. It's up to the performer to make fans question what they're seeing. Is this, I know it's a show, but man, he sounds so realistic. Like, I'm not sure. That's what you have to have fans doing. Scratching their head, saying, I'm not sure. When you hear MJF talk, you're not quite sure. Because I could see him walking into Tony Khan's office and saying everything that he said last night to Tony Khan's face.
You know what? And Bully, this is where, like, you know, on again, the conversation that we had on Tuesday, and I kind of said, are we that far gone now as fans of pro wrestling that the curtain's been pulled back so much that you can't go back? We're, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube. And you know what, Bully, from what you're saying, the answer is no, it's not. You could get back to that place. All right, maybe it won't be the same place like it was 35, 40 years ago, but that doesn't matter. You could still get to that place. And I think the shows last night are an example of that. You mentioned MJF's promo. But, you know, like the Bronson Reed vignette that I saw on NXT, where you're seeing the real-life person. You know, he talked about his wife and what his wife did for him to become a professional wrestler. He talked about his road to get there. Hey, you know what? If that's the realism that we're getting from pro wrestling, then I'm okay with it. I'm completely fine with that. As long as there's some realism, watching Wednesday nights, there's some hope for the future when it comes to pro wrestling. I don't feel that way when I watch wrestling on Mondays and Friday nights.
Here's my example of realism and how realism works when you see it from day one. When Eddie Kingston walked out last week with Cody Rhodes, was Eddie real?
Yes, to me.
Did you believe?
Yes.
Did he make you believe in everything he said?
Yes.
Did he make you believe everything that he did?
Yes.
And did you scratch your head for a minute and think to yourself, holy shit, Eddie Kingston might actually beat Cody?
Yes.
Did you ever scratch your head last night and think Warhorse could win?
No.
And there you have it. There's where real believability comes in. And we'll get to Warhorse and Cody whenever you decide you want to talk about that. But Eddie is real. MJF is real. You get this level of realism from the beginning where, yes, we know we're watching a wrestling show. Yes, we know we're watching sports entertainment. But they make you take a step back with their words, not with their fists, with their words, where you actually say to yourself, holy crap, this Eddie Kingston's a bad son of a gun. He might actually beat Cody. Or, holy crap, this MJF is a prick. I hope John Moxley dumps him into a pool of barbed wire. I could care less if John Moxley backdropped Kenny Omega into barbed wire. It's just it's a crash and burn spot that makes me go, ooh, I would love to see Moxley backdrop MJF into a pool of barbed wire, because you want to see MJF get it. You want to see him get his ass kicked. You want to see him get his what he's got coming. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Kingston is somebody legit, is a scary dude. Like, he's a badass dude that you would not want to mess with. MJF is somebody that, because he thinks he's so entitled, and he thinks as like a 24-year-old, he knows as much as somebody who's been in the business for 25 years, and the way he can get under your skin, you hate him. Now, you hate both guys for different reasons, but that doesn't matter. But you know what, again, you're not saying I hate this person because I don't like his work rate or it's go away heat. And, you know, I'm tired of seeing this guy on my TV. That's not the reason why you hate these guys. And after watching NXT last night, Bronson Reed is somebody that now I want to cheer for. I want to get behind Bronson Reed. I want to watch him wrestle, and I want to watch him succeed. Just from that 2.5-minute vignette that they showed on NXT last night, Bully.
They made me care about Thick Boy. I want to see him win. I want to see him succeed because I'm emotionally attached to him, not his moves. That's where the whole conversation comes in about spots and moves and this and that. You don't want fans emotionally connecting to a move. Anybody can do a move. We're learning that more and more with Canadian Destroyers, DDTs, Diamond Cutters. Anybody can do a move, and fans can pop for that move because it's just a move. I want people to be able to pop for a wrestler who just stands in the middle of the ring and doesn't do a damn thing, because now you're into that performer. You're connected to them emotionally. And when you're connected to a wrestler emotionally, you'll respond even better to any moves they did. Last night, I did respond better to Keith Lee. I liked the edginess of Keith Lee, but I still felt like it was in the scope of the performance. Now, you just gave a great analogy, Dave. Your dog walked into your studio and Demi barked because she saw a bear. Now, the bear was across the street. If the bear was in a room, in your room, Demi would probably be going crazy and in defensive dog mode, right?
Yep.
So you know what? In a way, last night, we got Keith Lee's first bark. We've never heard Keith Lee really bark before, have we?
No, we haven't.
So that was, I like that comparison you made in that analogy. Last night was the first bark. Maybe I would have just liked to seen a little bit more movement in the ring than just standing there stoically. But for the most part, good step forward, enjoyed it. I want to see that. I want to see the badass that I know is brewing inside of Keith Lee.
The Ock and Barack Show.
Mr. Roy Jones Jr. and Iron Mike Tyson are going to get it on. It seems like this is going to be a big, big fight, even though these guys are in their 40s and 50s.
Also, these guys probably had the biggest egos in boxing, hands down.
Those egos will come into play at some point throughout that exhibition. Now, are these guys mature enough to control themselves? That's a question that needs to be answered. They're going to have to answer it that night.
The Ock and Barack Show, weekdays from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern, only on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Saturday, August 1st on Fight TV. How about this, Bully? Talking Shop a Mania coming up. It's being billed as the worst pay-per-view ever. So right there, I'm intrigued to see what this is going to be like. So to come on to talk about not only what we're going to see. Hello, sir. We're not only going to talk about what we're going to see on Saturday, August 1st on Fight, but also the podcast, also their debut on Impact Wrestling this past Tuesday. Let's bring in the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson, Doc Allis. How are you guys doing?
Man, we are great. I love coming on to a show where you plug the worst pay-per-view ever, Talking Shop of Mania, right out of the gate. That's why, out of the 80 media inquiries we've had this week, we called you for this show because I knew it was going to kick ass.
First out the gate, and finally, it wasn't the first question wasn't, why did you get fired? What was it like getting fired? Was it embarrassing being fired publicly? Why didn't you guys leave in 2019? Are you guys idiots?
Well, I gotta be honest right off the bat, and this may make this a little bit different. I could care less about any of those things. I just want to talk about what's taking place on Saturday, August 1st. And here's why. Okay, when you bill it as the worst pay-per-view ever, and you had these vignettes that you've been posting on social media as well to get you intrigued about what's taking place on Saturday. So I really don't know what to expect on Saturday. So maybe, you know, first you, Carl, if you could, like, just talk about what we can expect as fans on Saturday night.
Literally, talking about it, the second we got released, Gallows called me and said, guys, I'm running a pay-per-view in my backyard with or without you. And I went, hold on, is that your way of telling me I have to come and help you? And it was. And I go, what do you mean? What are we going to do? He said, well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. We're going to do – the main event is going to be a boner yard match. And it's going to be Chad Too Bad versus Sex Ferguson. And it's going to be in a graveyard in my backyard. I've got lighting, and it's going to be amazing. And it's going to be in a complete parody pay-per-view. And I went, I'm down, bro. And then he bought a hearse. He bought a hearse for $3,000, and he's got a hearse sitting in his front yard. He's trying to think of ways to get insurance on it and trying to explain to people why he has a hearse in his front yard.
Hey, Bully's loaded from the great runs he's had over the years. You looking to buy a used hearse, Good Brother?
That's phenomenal. I mean, just hearing about that idea right off the bat, the Talking Shop, I mean, I saw the coming attractions for it, and you're right. It looks like the worst thing, like, ever, but I was popping for 2 minutes and 20 seconds watching the coming attractions. So I'm looking forward to seeing something that's so god-awful that entertains the hell out of us. Where did the idea come from? Like, how long ago did you come up with this, and how did it come to be?
Man, I'm sitting there in the sauna, and I get off the phone with Carano, and I go, you know, you can't come off of doing this great cinematic thing, being a part of it, a co-main event with The Undertaker and AJ Styles. Because of the way the world is, they have to do a cinematic match. It's going to go down in history. And I'm like, man, if we don't spoof this, we're missing a hell of an opportunity, because you know, our podcast is lighthearted. It's laughing. It's all this bullshit all the time. So this is a key opportunity for us to, you know, there's social unrest going on in the world. We're in the middle of this pandemic. A lot of people going through a lot of stuff, you know, as wrestlers, as entertainers, that's what we love to do is to entertain people. So then we started thinking of what else to put on this thing. We got a social distancing battle royal. We got a 90s tribute segment. We have a briefcase in a tree match. It's ridiculous. But I want everybody to know this is to make you smile. It's not done out of disrespect. It's none of that. It's a parody of what we know and love, professional wrestling. If you can't laugh at yourself, then I don't think you're a great entertainer. I hope everybody will enjoy it Saturday night.
It's spoof wrestling, just like spoof movies, right?
Exactly. That's what Carl made.
Take it away, Chad.
We're losing the brother. I think what he's gonna say is I made a good point, like I always do, because I have to be the reasoning of this. You always have a partner that is a businessman and this insane like madman. You got to have a guy to go, hold on, pipe it down, good brother, relax a second. So like, I mean, just to be able to have guys like the Flock. I mean, we got D'Lo Brown coming down to the ring. We've got Teddy Long hanging out at Gallows's backyard, man. The Rock and Roll Express were there all day from 8 a.m. And like, we didn't even ask them to be there until noon. And they were there at 8 a.m. because they just want to see the brothers. And Ricky Morton's telling us all day, man, I'm telling you, this is something big, man. This is big. And Hoot's telling us how great this thing is. I mean, just sit back, have a couple beers, have some CBD oil, whatever you do, relax yourself. Get your brain to where you want it to be and have a good time.
Do you think like you kind of threw a swerve at people? Because like I know for myself, I'm like, you know, Gallows and Anderson, they're gone from the WWE, you know, they're badasses. So we're going to see the first time we see them, it's going to be in this hardcore New Japan, you know, strong style match. And instead, we're going to see the worst pay-per-view of all time. I mean, was that the intention, is to kind of say, listen, fans, there's more to us than just that?
Yeah, I think we needed a creative outlet. I think it'll give us some layers. And I mean, you know, transfer it into the talking about Impact. It kind of goes hand in hand because it's been a breath of fresh air over there creatively. They don't hand us a 2-page script of lines of things we wouldn't say. They go out and say what you guys would say. And it's been a refreshing feeling. So I think Talking Shop of Mania was just us blowing off some steam and trying to make people smile at, again, what we all know and love, and that's pro wrestling.
You know, yeah, Bully, I guess it truly is a 2-page promo, because everybody that we have on talks about the 2-page promo.
You know, here's the thing. You know, we opened up and, you know, you guys talking about, wow, it's great to talk about our pay-per-view and not what happened over there and all this and that. But it's crazy. This week on Busted Open has been really interesting because we had Eric Young on. We had EC3 yep. on. We had Moxley on. The running thread is the things that go wrong while you're in the WWE. And, you know, when you hear the same story from a bunch of different people, you got to start accepting it for, you know, taking it for face value. Listen, I never had a problem over there. I have nothing but great things to say. Things went right sure. for me and my partner. They never really went wrong. But for you yep. guys, listen, just talking to you now for 5 minutes, I can already tell You're the guys that I know and love, not the miserable pricks you've been for the past 2 years. So
yeah.
This has to be that breath of fresh air. It has to be refreshing. But when you leave, it's kind of like the weight of the world is off your shoulders, isn't it?
Man, yeah, it is.
We said the stuff that we were going to say in that shoot interview deal, got it out there. No reason to harp on that. It's rearview mirror stuff now, but to say the weight of the world's off our shoulders, 100%, man. We feel better. I feel like we look better. We just, we're in a better place mentally, you know? So it's been good.
It's nice to know that, like, you know, you don't have to see the meeting break and all of a sudden you hear that Michael Hayes has buried you 5 times in a meeting for no reason. you don't even know why. And it's like, hold on, what was the reasoning for that? I thought we were cool with you, Michael. You got to at least come tell me why you thought something sucked. So it's to be out of that toxicity right now for me has been a really a big breath of fresh air. And you know us, Bubba, man, like we are fun, loving, lighthearted guys that enjoy having fun and being creative and being funny and having our own kind of comedy anyway. But like, so just to be able to do that on top of being involved with Impact right now, and Impact is giving us our wrestling. Just, you know, we love to wrestle. So that gives us that. But on top of this, we get to do this ridiculous stuff with Talking Chopamania and hang out with the Rock and Roll Express all day and have beers with them all day and produce a wrestling show. And it's just, it's been really fun.
So we're going to see you. Obviously, we got you back in Impact. Are you guys also going to be working with New Japan?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Was that really important to you?
Very important. 100%. So important. It's actually written into our contract that we can go to Japan specifically for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Impact's being so amazing that they'll even, you know, because everything for them is basically taped besides live pay-per-views, that they can even, you know, we can even finagle the dates around to ensure that we can get over there to New Japan when they are open and ready to start rocking again.
That was huge when Scott D'Amore, you know, he was pursuing us aggressively, and that was a huge thing for us.
Yeah, just to be able to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling is that's number one at the end of the day. But Impact was so unbelievable with their offer and wanting to have us there that we had to go.
So why were they able to lure you away this time as opposed to last time? Read the stories, know about it, you guys in AJ, Dixie's house, yada, yada. You walked out. You didn't feel it was like the right situation. But now you said Impact courted you and you felt like they really wanted you. What was different between the two situations?
Well, you know what happened the last time is WWE called. That was it. WWE called, and it was right after we had left Dixie's house. WWE called. Maybe they got wind that we were there. You know, I don't know how all that works, but they called and they courted us just as well. And it was like, man, we felt like at that time we needed to go to the WWE. And I think these last 4 years, you know, we built our name as high as we could in the WWE, and I think it paid off.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, please continue, Doc.
Oh, all I was going to say was just to reiterate it once more, was Scott he came at us the right way. We knew the management was different. I had been in TNA before when Dixie was in charge, and it was just a whole new group. Like, we didn't know Don Callis. Our initial conversations with him, talking about creative ideas and stuff like that, we got a great vibe from him. We went and met Ed. So everybody, it felt like the right move. And then when we got there and right out of the gate, they honored their word to us. You know, I popped huge for the fact that they're dropping graphics for our ridiculous parody pay-per-view on the television show. And then, you know, this past Tuesday night, running our commercial spot that they even helped chop up to fit into the show. That just feels like you're playing on a team that you want to wear their hat because they're wearing your hat. It's been really good.
So it sounds like, Doc, that, you know, there's a big difference between the TNA that you were in before and the Impact Wrestling that there is now. So, like, with the WWE, you had two stints with the WWE. Was there much of a difference between the two stints, or was it basically the same?
Well, I've said this publicly before. We were sitting in a room in the Tokyo Dome Hotel, which Bully knows well. And it was AJ and his wife. It was me and my parents and Carl and his mother. We had brought our families over for our last Tokyo Dome. We go, we got to take a vote and really decide on this thing. Who says yes to go to WWE? Who says no? And I voted no, got voted down 2-1, which was actually the right move. But the WWE I remembered and the WWE I went back to were a lot different. And I think it was just I was older, more mature, and it was just a different, younger locker room and stuff. And we had a lot of fun with the boys there and enjoyed that part of it over the 4 years.
Now, Carl,
I want to ask another question about Talking Chopamania. So I almost got a feeling of seeing you guys do your own thing with this backyard spoof wrestling. It kind of felt like with Matt Hardy, with Final Deletion, and all of the stuff that Matt Hardy did was so successful, and one led to another, which led to another. With Talking Chopamania, is it a one-off thing, or if it goes real well, will you spoof other things that are going on currently in the business, or would you maybe take some things that happened in the past and spoof them also?
Sadly, sadly, we're hearing word that there's the pre-buys are starting to come in for me, and I'm going, oh no, like this is going to be possibly successful, and that means Gallows is going to want to have to do another one,
and I'm going, oh yes,
yeah. he literally writes and goes, guys, it's going to be a success, so I'll give you a week off, and then after that, we're starting planning Talking Shop Mania 2, and I was like, I mean, it's fun as that'll be, but this has been insane, man.
He wrote back, F you, man. And I was like, well, he'll get over it. I said, once you get that pay-per-view check, you'll be happy and we can plan the next one. So
yeah, I'm not a promoter, man. I'm just one of the boys,
I think it's fun to spoof current and past stuff, and laugh along with it. That's part of the fun of what we do. So it's cool to be able to be serious and kick some ass in New Japan, to have a more serious layer over on Impact. And then, it's almost like the Trailer Park Boys of pro wrestling when you talk about Talking Chopper Mania.
Well, Bully, as I'm going to sound like a 49-year-old man here, but it almost sounds like they're the Mel Brooks of wrestling. Like, as soon as there's something successful, you come up with a parody of it. I'd be fine with that, Bully.
Like I said, the 2 minutes and 20 seconds I saw on social media, it looked like everything that I would absolutely despise, and I was laughing the whole time. I loved it. I was like, I have to watch Talking Shopper Mania because I want to be entertained and I want to laugh. So all the boys that were there, they were totally in on it. They wanted to do everything that you wanted to do. They knew your vision and they were all on board, yes?
100%. Yeah. Everybody was on board with it. And we actually, you talk about Matt Hardy, who I think is kind of like the father of this cinematic stuff. We sent Matt like a copy before it was finally edited of the Boneryard match. And he wrote back and just went, boys, this is hilarious. I feel like you wrote it for me and the boys to pop for. And I was like, well, if that translates to the audience and the fans as well, then we have something here. So I hope.
I mean, we sent a link to the Young Bucks, and like, they both wrote back. They said, guys, this is unbelievable. They're losing it watching the Boneryard. And there's so many inside things that the boys get and smart wrestling fans will understand. And yeah, and I think a lot of people we booked too were coming to the show, coming to Gallows' house, and they had no idea. They're like, "So what do we need gear? Like, what do we need? What do we need?" And we're just going, "No, you don't need anything." Like, we had Mike Bennett and Maria come, and they were there all day, and we just needed them for a couple little things that, like, they didn't need to bring their gear. They didn't need to have fun, be creative, and like just do anything you want. And then Maria ended up doing really cool things.
She did great. It's
Mike
funny
too. Mike was amazing. Mike was able to, laugh at himself a little bit about what he's gone through.
Spoof what he's gone through too, which was really cool. But I mean, I lost what I was going to say there. I don't know.
I talked over you.
You did.
Well, it doesn't matter because Talking Shopper Mania on Fight TV this Saturday, August 1st. You can pre-order, but make sure that you definitely watch it. Make sure you watch it because, Bully, on Monday, you and I are going to talk about it. So if you're listening to Busted Open Nation, and you're a member of the nation and you're listening, we're going to talk about this on Monday. So do your homework and watch Talking Shopper Mania.
I have a funny feeling we're going to have a different critique and breakdown of Talking Shopper Mania than we would a Monday Night Raw.
I mean, there's
100%.
There's a time like Freight, like the three of us, me, Rocky, and Gallows are on commentary, and Freight Train does a double clothesline, and we start laughing.
Good. So fucking hard.
Do I need to say more? We're laughing hard. We're laughing so hard at just the setup, man.
I get a voicemail like every other month at the Team 3D Academy, and God bless them. Freight Train, hi, Bubba, just calling to say hello. It's Freight Train, just won't let you know I'm doing well. I love that guy.
Well, he's a big star.
I get the same one, but he still thinks he goes, hello, fastest, this is Freight Train.
Bully, it's funny. You said that it's going to be way different than a Monday Night Raw, but it's being billed as the worst pay-per-view ever, so maybe it's more going to be like Extreme Rules that we saw.
We're admitting it.
At least there's no false advertising on this one.
Hey, I removed a man's eye on social media this week to prepare for the Boneryard match, so anything's possible.
Hey, obviously you guys are going to have a blast with this Boneyard match, but how was it being involved in the Boneyard match with AJ and Taker?
Oh man, it was epic. I think that you know, we felt bad out of the gate. Like, man, these guys would have such an awesome match in front of 75, 80,000 people. What is this going to be like? But then you have two of the greatest to ever do it in AJ Styles and The Undertaker. So what they created, I thought, was magic. And for a situation where I don't know if there was a regular WrestleMania and you showed that on a Titantron to 80,000 people, if they would have had the same reaction. But for the time that we're in, I thought it was a masterpiece. It was great to be involved in. And we said this before, but how tough is Taker still to this day? Like, he does that deal at the beginning and he smashes the window of the hearse and his arm is just laid open. And, you know, we're shooting this thing all night long and he doesn't stop. He doesn't receive real medical attention other than cleaning it up a little, holding a towel on it, go to the next shot. Do the shot, arms bleeding everywhere again, clean it up, put a towel on it, go to the next shot. It was awesome, man. We had a lot of fun being out there and being a part of it for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that we earned Undertaker's respect in the Boneyard or whatever, but I think that he saw that we were there all night, we were working hard, we were selling for his stuff, and we were a lot better than a couple of those druids that almost knocked his ass over a couple of times. But like just to be out there, like, yeah, you know, end of the day, right? It's being involved with The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and then being able to be involved with AJ Styles as great as he is, it was nothing but awesome, awesome.
Well, Taker says at one point we cut, and he goes, "I think some of those druids need to go back to summer school." And that's my biggest pop out of the Boneyard was him saying that.
Which I think the druids were so terrible that they made Gallows and Anderson seem like actually good workers. To him.
You got to book those guys aren't so bad. Chopamania too.
Well, trust me, when you see the social distancing battle royal, you'll know that we flew them in for it.
Well, we'd love to have Bubba on it. I just don't think we could afford him at this point.
We don't have that kind of budget yet. We got to work this thing up.
Yeah,
we can talk. I'm sure we'd have some fun.
For sure.
Oh, I can promise you, we can have some fun.
If you book me versus La Greca, I'm there for free.
My deal. Please don't tempt us with that because it's already booked out.
I'll tell you what, if it's a social distancing match, I'll tell you right now, I'll kick his ass in a social distancing Bubba match.
Bubba, can Gallows fly you Spirit like he did Enzo?
Hey. You flew me Spirit, bro. You thought I wouldn't notice?
Hey, you know, Enzo takes a lot of shit, guys. A lot of shit. I've been an Enzo fan from day one. You guys worked with him. How entertaining is that little bastard?
Man, he couldn't have been better at this thing. It was hilarious. He has a great cameo, not to give everything away, but a great cameo in the Boner Yard that we didn't even really set up. It just happened that way. And I laughed so hard we had to cut because he's Enzo. He's entertaining as hell, man. He just, that's him.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, like, we beat him up so many times on Raw and on live events that, like, I mean, we really beat him badly a lot. I mean, he took it all, man.
he always took it all and took it in stride. I remember one night he goes, "Hey, how about not so many bumps tonight in the heat ski? My back's a little sore. So, of course, it's a four-way tag. And what do we all do? Suplex, body slam, every kind of suplex we can think. Hey, what are you doing? Huh? I thought I told you.
Doc does a good Jersey accent.
Yeah, absolutely. So, wait, Dave, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of this guy, Sex Ferguson?
Yes.
I'm not quite sure who Sex Ferguson is. Doc, who is Sex Ferguson?
Yeah.
Sex Ferguson, buddy! Yay! Professional wrestling legend. I can't use my colorful language here on Busted Open, but you'll see it this Saturday live at Talking Shop-a-Mania, buddy! Yay!
It doesn't go out any better than that.
I'm glad he kind of curved the language, even though this is satellite radio and you could say anything that you want. But as my dad used to say, you want to keep a little in the condom because you want people to watch the pay-per-view on Saturday night.
I love your dad. Yeah. I started out in Gloucester City, New Jersey. So that's where I learned the Jersey accent.
You also worked with Enzo so many times.
So many times.
You can't not talk like him after you've been around him so much. Jeez.
All right, so I really want to talk about your guys' relationship, because I'm just guessing that, you know, as much as you're the same, you're very different as well. You know, I can just tell from this interview, because Doc has continually stepped over you, Carl, when he tried to talk.
Yep. And
then also, Doc is doing it from a vehicle where, you know, Carl, you're doing it from a professional studio. So talk about your, you know, it's, you know, one respects and one doesn't, but I digress. So one, you know, so talk about your relationship, how you're the same and how you're different. And I'll start with you, Carl, since you can answer so Doc won't step on you.
Well, you know, usually, because the funny thing, it's funny because we will, he's talking over me here today, but the good, that's because he's driving and he's got his video recorder on. He probably shouldn't be on FaceTime while he's driving.
But, I'm in the back of my own truck, thank you.
Oh, is that what it is? Of course, he has a camera crew on him. Like, he thinks he's The Rock. Dude, let's not forget that.
It's true.
Wow, look at that.
See? Listen.
Hey, I'm on my way to a booking, brother.
Gallows is one of the most fun-loving, sweet, kind-hearted guys in the whole world. But let's not ever get this twisted. He thinks he's the coolest motherfucker walking the planet. As you could tell by our debut and Impact, as we're walking down so cool, he slips at the bottom of the ramp because he's wearing fucking cowboy boots.
Well, those bastards shouldn't oiled up the ramp. That was actually the debut of the no hand crotch chop. I'm gonna get it over.
Yeah. You know, we're so much alike. Like, people told us we would get along, and literally they put us together in New Japan. Like, Hattori shows me a video. He the guy that books talent in New Japan. He goes, "Hey man, this guy good worker. What you think?" And I watched it and I go, "Yeah, he looks like he looks pretty good." And he goes, "Yeah, maybe they make you tag team, huh?" And I was like, "Whoa, hold on a second. Like, I'm doing pretty good on my own. I'm good. I don't have a big singles run in the future here." And like, they put us together and we realized we had a good match at Korakuen Hall in Tokyo. And then we went out for beers that night and we probably drank about a 100 of them. And we laughed so hard that was it, man. That was December of 2013. And we've been on the road together for 7 straight years. That's the problem, is I think we're so much alike. I guess one good thing about him is he has such a quick trigger, being the big guy of the group, that I'm able to come in and kind of like calm the big brother down, you know?
And what about you, Doc?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're like an old married couple, to be honest with you. It takes one to balance out the other. When I go off the rails, he's usually the one reeling me back in. But I'll see him, you know, 6 times a year, really lose it or do something really fucking stupid. And when I have to step in and be the voice of reason, that's when we know there's a big issue, because normally it's me. So when he steps out of line, I have to become the enforcer for him or step out of a sticky situation or whatever. But it's very rare. He's pretty much, of the duo, I'd call him the straight man, even though in a normal duo that would not be the case. But in this wild ass pairing that we are, that's how it works out. And it's good for me. It keeps me balanced.
We get along very well.
Speaking of an old married couple, a serious question here. What was it like working with Devon as your producer?
We got nothing but love for Devon, brother.
Well, we love Devon.
Yes, we all do.
Yeah. We love Devon. I'm glad he's not. He didn't get furloughed, did he?
No. He's
he'll
good.
Be there.
He's golden.
He'll be there forever.
He's gonna be working until he's 80. That's what I told him. He just won't stop having children. He's the most fertile brother in the world.
Oh, if you only knew.
Just loves having babies.
Loves new babies. Can't get enough
of newborns.
God bless. And I guess if he didn't get furloughed, I guess they didn't fix the glitch yet. So we'll see that what happens. Talking Shop-a-Mania, August 1st, Saturday, Fight TV. Make sure you order. Hey, listen, I'm saying it right now. It actually means something. We're the number one sports talk show here on SiriusXM. Nice. So we are going to talk about this on Monday. So I want the nation to do their homework. Please watch Talking Shop-a-Mania on Saturday. Bully and I are going to break it down on Monday. We're going to talk about it. So if you want to be a part of the homework assignment, definitely order it. And hopefully that gets me booked on Talk of Shop-a-Mania Part 2. Everything I touch turns to gold. So you definitely want to book me. Bully, we'll be watching and I can't wait. Guys, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. And we'll be talking about you on Monday morning.
Hey, thanks for having us, man. Be easy on Monday. Enjoy.
See you down the road, brothers.
Please drink beers before.
Buddy! Yay! Thanks, brothers.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.